He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, June the 14th. It's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now show, and looking a little better today, Barry, than the last 2 days.
Yeah, that was a rough go.
I decided to get out of bed today, you know, after, the last 2 days were really brutal. But maybe the market has now said, yeah, it's going to be 75 basis points. May as well get over it. That's what it seems like. But today we've got a pretty good start. The oil stocks are just on fire today. We are surging. And I'll let you know what I said to my clients and subscribers yesterday, because the oil stocks did sell off yesterday with the rest of the market. That hasn't happened for quite some time. The Dow right now looks like it's up 62 points after opening to the downside. It's at 30,587. And, you know, usually those big round numbers, we'll see, lend support. 30,000 is the number right now on the Dow. S&P 500 is up 16, 4-tenths of a percent, but the last 2 days, Friday and Monday, were just brutal. The S&P has cleared down to 3765. I hope you've been following me in my macro outlook every week in the newsletter, in our article last week saying the analysts are way too high with their price targets. NASDAQ up 66. The beleaguered NADs, crude oil, there's just no holding it back. It's up 254 to 123 today. You got the 10-year all the way up to 3.34, although it's down 2 basis points today. 3.34 is the highest print. I can't remember. You got to go way back to find a print that high. And last but not least, Bitcoin is getting just slaughtered. It's at 22,380. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 23 years in the trenches, Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst, so he knows all about the numbers and all these reports that come in every single day practically on the economy. And what can I say, you know, Monday, the Dow was down 888 points. The Dow is now down 17.1% from its all-time high. So the Dow has fared the best of the three big averages, and that's because I would say of the three averages, it has the lowest P/E ratio. So it has not quite slipped into that 20%, which is technically bear market range. It's down 17.1% from its all-time high. The S&P 500, however, which was down 151 points yesterday and up some today, the S&P is now down 22.2 from its all-time high. And I would say this, Barry, it broke support yesterday. I said 3,900 was support. It broke that on Friday. And then yesterday, it was clear down to 37.49, and that's the one I put out the target price on every week in the newsletter. That's where I think the S&P will be 12 months from now. That's based on numbers. That's based on math. That's based on earnings expectations. And I am quite a bit lower than the consensus S&P 500 estimate out there. Looks like we're right, Barry, and they're wrong.
Well, yeah, things are changing quickly.
Boy, I mean, I'll say.
Like, it seems like consensus now is a 75 basis point hike tomorrow, you know, around 2 o'clock, I think, is when the info will come out. But, I mean, you know, if you'd asked people a week ago, right, it would have been you know, two 50 basis point hikes, and now we're already, kind of seems like the market's already for 75.
Yeah, it's braced itself. It's already built in a 75-point basis hike. I saw one big analyst today saying, we're going to get 275 basis point hikes in a row and then a 50. Wow, that would be 200 basis points in about 3 or 4 months. We'll see. But it's, you know, inflation is the trigger there, those inflation numbers. Today you get the PPI coming out at 10.8%. I can't ever remember seeing a PPI wholesale price index report that hot.
Yeah, I guess, well it's fun. I mean, I was reading it here. It's almost the market, you know, liked the fact that it came in at consensus, right, instead of a surprise. And the you know, one of the interesting notes is, it says slowing further from a 21-year high of 11.5 hit in March. So what, we're 0.7% below the 21-year high that we hit in March. So,
and there are
there's a silver lining there.
Yeah, and there are those that say that inflation is accelerating as opposed to topping out. That was Arthur Laffer last week said that on Thursday. Now, let's get to the NASDAQ, which was down 531 points yesterday. We have very little exposure to the NASDAQ, very little. The NASDAQ closed at 10,809. I remember my neighbor, he's a retired Army colonel, I believe, a Citadel graduate. Great people. I have great neighbors. And he said, I read a report, Bill, that the NASDAQ's going to 20,000. This was about 2 months ago. I said, well, I think it'll, if that's true, it's going to go to 10,000 first. He was shocked because it was at about 13,000 at the time. Well, Bill was right again because the NASDAQ is closing in on 10,000. It's at 10,809 as of yesterday. It's up a little today. But the NASDAQ now from its peak, get this number, is down 32.7%. It's lost one third of its value, and we warned you a long time ago, a year ago, February, what is that, 16 months ago, that the NASDAQ is not going to do well in a rising interest rate environment. So look at the difference. The Dow's down 17 from its all-time high. The NASDAQ's down 33, but wait, I'm not done yet. Get this number. ARK funds, which we warned more than any other asset out there, we said beware of ARK funds, funds like it, and the stocks that make up. ARK is now down 77% from its high. And I said many moons ago that this ARK was another, you know, a dot-com bubble waiting to happen, crash. And I saw the dot-com bubble deflate. I saw the superstars of that era, 1998, 99, 2000, the first-hand funds, the Garrett Von Wageners. There was a whole bunch of them. They were media stars, Henry Blodgett. They were on all the time. They were the darlings of Wall Street, and they became the bums of Wall Street and out of work eventually. Gone from the business, and I said, you know, I think at the end of the day, Kathy Wood's going to be the poster child of this. I would say it easy money. There was just too much money sloshing around, and people were buying that kind of stuff. She's now down 77%. And I took a lot of heat for criticizing her, but you know what? I was out to warn folks. Get out of the way. There's a freight train coming, and it's going. She is going to absolutely get slammed. Well,
and she can't get out of the way. Based on her, she's got to be what I think 80%. When you look at the prospectus, she's got to be 80% invested in.
I'd have to read that and see if she had any latitude to go to the sidelines. But I think the other thing that bothers me about her is she made so many of these just bold calls that were wrong. I'm talking about the macro picture.
Well, in the recent one about Zoom that she thinks is going to be at $1,500.
And Tesla at $6,000.
Right.
And we're in a deflationary environment. That's the big worry, not inflation. Wrong again. That was about a year ago. And it's inflation that has torn her apart and her fun. And the other one she said was, oh, oil is topped out here. Now, that was at about $75 a barrel. Now you're at $120. So, I mean, who even would listen to her anymore. Of course, her personal wealth, I was reading today that her personal wealth has gone down by about 65-70%. Okay, well, anyways, the two big down days are out of the way. Hopefully, we've got some kind of a bottom here. Even the oil stocks got caught up to some extent. Oil had a terrible day yesterday. Not oil. The oil stocks, and they're gaining all of it back today and more, which is what I told my subscribers and clients. I said, you know, this is just a normal, I think it's getting caught up. The baby's being thrown out with the bathwater. And I said, I'd be looking to buy the dip. Not in the tech stocks, but in the oil stocks. And so far, that looks like a pretty good call. Okay, when we come back, I want to mention a couple of stocks that are just shocking how much they're down from their high. And then we're going to start talking a little bit about the Fed, all right? This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, everything has slipped into the red now. The S&P's down 5, Dow down 56, NASDAQ down 19. Probably going to be pretty quiet until that Fed announcement tomorrow. What is that, like 2 o'clock or is it 11 a.m.?
Yes, it usually comes out around 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And then my guess is the press conference will be usually at 2. I think it's at 2:30. Yep.
I don't know how he can downplay inflation and what they're going to do to tackle it. Crude oil's up 253 now to 123.46. I think the stunning number out there is just the collapse of Bitcoin, which you can say Gunderson was right again on that one. I have always been negative on Bitcoin. It was a loose money, a beneficiary of loose money and people speculating. It's down $1,190 per coin. It's at 22,222. Big layoffs at Coinbase. That's another one that Kathy Woods, you know, she said Bitcoin was going to 250,000 and Coinbase is one of her largest holdings. And I'm hearing from some of the crypto guys like Mike Novogratz at Galaxy Digital. He says, as soon as the Fed is done raising rates, Bitcoin is going to soar. Well, okay, that's one man's opinion, but things aren't going well. It's very much a risk asset. Okay, when things get tough, Barry, people say, what is backing this asset?
Right. Well, and it seems like it's having a ripple effect across, you know, across other speculative, certainly parts of the market and sell-offs. And when you look at, I mean, I was reading an article today about Coinbase that, you know, there's, you know, worry about Coinbase in terms of, you know, what we term as a going concern, meaning, you know, are they going to continue to be in business for an extended period of time?
Yeah.
Their bond rates were... I saw some yields of like 9%, and they still can't get a bid, which tells you that, you know, people are, you know, worried about them potentially going out of business at some point.
Yes, they're saying it's a crypto winter. Well, you know, this is June. Coinbase lays off 18%, and then there was another one. Celsius moved yesterday to halt crypto withdrawals, so there's a run on the bank. And now Washington, the regulators are going to look at that and what happened there. Bitcoin investors liquidate $532 billion worth of crypto over the last 24 hours. So there is a massive run on crypto. We'll see where that ends up, but it's not a good thing. And I know that the crypto market is now under $1 trillion. So it's taken just a massive hit. Okay, when's the last time we had a 75 basis point rate hike? You got to go back to 1994.
Yeah.
27 years ago under Alan Greenspan. I don't really remember that. It doesn't stick out in my mind. You know, the Fed, of course, the market, that was about the beginning of one of the biggest bulls in history, starting in around 95, I suppose, to the year 2001. And he started calling it in 98 irrational exuberance, and it got even more irrational and more exuberant, finally peaking in March of 2000. I can remember where I was at that time. I was managing money sitting at my desk when the NASDAQ burst through 5,000, and then it started to fall, and it took 13 years for it to get back to 5,000. According to the market, there's a 93.5% chance that the Fed lifts the target rate by 75 basis points at tomorrow's meetings. Rate expectations have shifted drastically since the May CPI numbers overshot forecast. A half point hike was fully priced in to the markets, okay? And then, of course, when that inflation report came out, that was a game changer. And we saw the market sell off wickedly. Why? Because all of a sudden the market baked in 25 more basis points, and that goes into that formula that we talk about, Barry, the discounted cash flow number, right? All of a sudden that goes up, and right, the valuations go down. It's just math. And, of course, the higher the P.E. ratio, the more out there on the risk scale, like Bitcoins, the longer the duration, the more it gets hit when those kind of things happen. And now, looking out into the future, they're looking for 300 basis points over the next five meetings. So that has been a big change in the market. And, of course, the bond market, our TBT, did very well yesterday. I have a little bit of the 3-to-1, which is TTT, TNT, right? Dynamite. when rates go up, it is dynamite because it flies higher. It's three times leveraged against interest rates. So that's been a pretty good one. And then, of course, SJB has been pretty good too, which is leveraged against junk bonds or the high yield markets. And the latest chart talk, I saw a technical analyst, and I printed out this chart of the 10-year since 1970. So that's 52 years worth of the 10-year. It went down from 1980 to 1982, it peaked out. Believe it or not, the 10-year peaked at 15.84. It bottomed in July of 2020, late in the year of COVID, at 0.53. A massive bull market for 40 years in the bond market. But guess what? That downtrend is over. And now you've got a sideways trend, and you had a breakout here recently, and now interest rates, and that's one of the big changes. That's why I don't like perma bulls, whether it's bond or stocks. I don't like perma bears because things change. And when you get a 40-year cycle that comes to an end, which we pointed out quite some time ago, and rates start to rise. We're now in, who knows how high they can go, but this technical analyst says they're headed for 5%. That's just one opinion. They're at 3.3 today. And so if they go to 5%, you have to imagine what that does to the bond market, which is why we've warned, put up red flags, not yellow flags, red flags about bond funds, red flags of IPE tech, the chickens are coming home to roost, and we may have a lot further to go if we go from 3.3 up to 5%. Imagine what that does to real estate. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we had a little rally underway. Crude oil still rallying in the crude oil stocks, but the S&P is now down 4 points. All quiet, I think, in front of tomorrow's Fed announcement. The NASDAQ is now down 14 points. The Dow down 62. Can you believe Boeing? Boeing has just been rocked. Boeing stock is down 53. Now, that's a member of the Dow. 53% since the beginning of or the year. Let's see. Maybe that's over the last 12 months.
12
the companies,
months, yeah.
Wow, that is just incredible. Let's see. Boeing shares have shed nearly 18% during the last 4 days. It's the biggest decliner so far this year. Minus 44%, and over the last 12 months, minus 53%. Now, the one that really, how about down 93%, Peloton, is now under 10.
It was under 10 yesterday, I think, for the first time.
Yeah. Okay, and Peloton hit a high of $171 during the loose money COVID year of 2020. There was just too much money sloshing around, and now that thing is $9.66. Okay, now, one of the, I've had Harold Hamm, believe it or not, on this show, Best Stocks Now. He was one of the companies that I selected to feature in my book back in 2011. And I invited several of those CEOs on the air. I did have the Tractor Supply CEO on the air also. That was a fast-growing company at that time. I had Harold Hamm. Harold Hamm is the CEO and big owner of Continental Resources out of Oklahoma. He's one of the pioneers of the horizontal fracking. And look what he's doing today. That's one of the reasons probably you're seeing the oil patch on fire today. He is offering to buy the remainder of the shale driller that he and his family don't already own for $70 per share. And Continental Resources, CLR, is currently trading now at $73 per share. Maybe someone else will come in and bid higher. I don't know why he's... But this is a $27 billion company, Barry. How would you like to own 100% of a 27?
I guess he's taking it private. Is that the?
I guess he would take it private.
I guess that might be why. Hmm.
And you know what? The other thought that came to my mind this morning as I was doing my studying, he was in the Trump administration as an advisor on energy. And, of course, hey, that's all I can say is oil was, what, $2, or gas was $2 and some odd cents a gallon under that administration. Our current energy secretary, now I follow the news very, very closely in politics and world leaders and global events and whatnot because it all plays in to being a money manager. Our current energy secretary is a big environmentalist, all right? So... why are you paying? That's one of the reasons you're paying $5 per gallon. Yeah, Grantham is a big environmentalist. Harold Hamm was a big fracking guy.
Yep.
So does it make a difference? Well, you know, you be the judge.
Yeah, and the other thing is, OPEC, as we continue to talk about, they just can't hit their quotas. I think that just story recently just came out. I think their supply rose about 35,000 barrels a day. Quota for the increase was supposed to be 277,000 barrels a day, so a good bit off of.
They're starting to they're predicting, and they claim it's already underway, demand destruction. And, of course, if the globe goes into a recession, that would hurt. They're kind of predicting that. That's what OPEC is predicting. Now, I don't know if they're right or not, but they said global demand will ease in 2023, next year. In fact, they're predicting to right now the per barrels used today is 3.3 million. They say it's going to go down to 2 million next year. Okay, that's OPEC's prediction. So we got to watch those oil stocks pretty closely. I think in the short term, there's no stopping oil and gasoline from going higher. But where do you get demand destruction after the summer driving season is over?
Who's going to use less? I don't know.
I think, you know what, they're a political, it's in their best interest to keep oil prices high. So I think they're kind of justifying why they're not, speeding up the spigot a little bit.
Right, exactly.
So you have to take everything you read with a little bit of grain of salt and look at the motives of those people making these comments. But I was kind of shocked to read that. In the meantime, LNG tanker charter rates leap to year-to-date highs. Spot market rates for liquefied natural gas tankers set a new record for the year this week as traders bid up available vessels to meet rising global demand. Okay, so they're kind of saying the same opposite of what, but this is liquid natural gas now. The spot rate for transporting LNG reached $100,000 a day. And $85,000 a day for Asia. Hey, forget about a little fishing charter, you know. I should be chartering a liquid natural gas boat. You could troll for mahi on the way out at the Gulf Stream, but deliver that liquid natural gas. Another interesting story I'll tell about the world. You know, Israel made a pretty big discovery of natural gas off their coast. And the leader of the European Union was there yesterday trying to cut a deal with Israel. Enter Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, and Lebanon is claiming that that gas field is in their waters. So there's a standoff, and Hezbollah, the leader of Hezbollah, is threatening Israel. There's a drilling rig right there, ready to go. And it's Egypt and Israel that claim it's theirs, and Lebanon's claiming it's theirs. So there's another interesting thing.
Something else to fight about, I guess.
Yeah, and let's not – another big development in the last few days is Israel. There was a plane landing in Damascus, Syria, with high-tech weapons that Assad was going to ship to Iran. And guess what happened? Israel blew that plane up, and the Damascus airport is out of commission. And the reports are that Israel has told Assad, you're next if you help Iran anymore. So, yeah, just, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. In the meantime, Elon Musk is set to address Twitter employees for the first time this week. Well, that's quite a regime change there. It sounds like he's going to go through with it. The bright spot that I saw, Oracle. Did you see that was pretty good earnings from Oracle, which is a cloud stock. Ellison, a major cloud stock, a member of the NASDAQ 100. It was up 12% this morning. Now it's up 8.1%, but they had an excellent quarter despite economic headwinds. So all is not lost there in tech land. And here's the downside to Tesla right now and Musk. He made a big investment in crypto for the company, right? And we've seen MicroStrategy, which has a huge investment, they're getting clocked. That stock is getting clocked. And they say that Elon and Tesla could have a pretty rough quarter if he's been selling his. Of course, he's got a, I'm sure, mark-to-market at the core. But it wouldn't be a loss until he sells it. But right now he's pretty upside down on his Bitcoin investment. And the last one I wanted to mention here, I was looking at a REIT in New York City that owns all these big offices. People are not going back to work. I don't know that it will ever be normal again. Look at SL Green Realty, which leases, acquires, and develops office properties in the New York metro area. That's a REIT that's gone from 84 to 48 in 2 months.
Wow.
I think all those people working in those office towers are in our neck of the woods now.
Yeah,
not our restaurants, our beaches, downtown, our hotel, and buying up real estate here in the South Carolina area. Okay, what's popping off the page? There are definitely some poppers today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The day before the big announcement, which comes tomorrow, and it would seem that the market has now priced in a 75 basis point rate hike, which is new. Okay, it was not expecting that before. Now, Barry, if it comes in at just a half a point, you're going to see a wicked rally in the market tomorrow.
It's going to be an interesting go. I'm trying to figure out in my head, right? I mean, will it? The market's expecting a 75 point. Does it want to rip off the Band-Aid, right? And so almost, if you get a 50 point hike, I mean, it's, I'm trying to, you would think that the market would rally, but at the same time, I wonder, could it be, the fact that it's going to prolong things potentially? It's such a mixed bag at the moment where, I think really kind of anything can happen at this point.
Yes, I'm expecting 75 basis points. That's what I would expect to see tomorrow. And then I think he will probably signal. He's pretty good at signaling another 75 basis. There's where I'm at on this. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Now, some of the stocks jumping off the page here. Boy, the refiners. Wow. They are back in action today. After a sell-off over the last 2 days, there is an ETF, CRAK, K-C-R-A-K, that tracks the refiners as a group. They're having a very good day. NRGU is three times the energy big oil, actually big oil, and it's up 10.2% today, NRGU. That's definitely jumping off the page. It has a relative strength of 99. It doesn't get any stronger than this. But, we're going to have to keep our eye on the energy stock. They're not going to go up forever. Everything is cyclical. The tech stocks, the dot-com stocks, didn't go up forever in the year 2000. And the whatever, we need a name for the COVID stocks. There was a name for it. I can't remember what it was. That group of stocks, the work from home, speculative tech. They didn't go up forever. Eventually, the oil sector over time, I've watched it for 23 years. It's without a doubt a boom or bust sector. But we've got a new wrinkle in that boom or bust sector. I was just reading during the break, it's Granholm. I thought I had her name a little bit wrong. But she is our current energy secretary. She's only the second woman to be an energy secretary. But she's an environmentalist. She's not an oil person like Harold Hamm was, and I think Rick Perry from an oil state, Texas, was our energy secretary also there for a while. But now it's Granholm. And, you know, I mean, the Biden administration by 2035, that's 12 years from now, wants to have a 100% clean energy economy. Now, I don't know how you achieve that, okay, with, you know, FedEx airliners coming in. Are they going to be running on clean energy? We're the ninth busiest port in America. These ships coming into the port, will they be running on clean energy? I mean, I suppose liquid natural gas would be the only alternative to run those big ships. And thirdly, all of these containers being offloaded onto trucks, will they be on clean energy? Will they be electric by 2035? Will we all be driving electric vehicles by 2035? 12 years goes by pretty quickly. So there's a lot that would have to happen and a lot that probably can't happen. I have to give a nod to the Chinese electric vehicle makers. In particular, you got a Chinese electric vehicle stock breaking out today, Li Auto. Look at LI today.
We've written that one up in the past.
Yes, we have, and it's breaking out. That thing's up 10.2%. Now, I wonder if we'll see the day. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, the EVs are not rolling off the line here in America. They are in China. Will we be importing NIO? NIO's also having a good day.
Yeah, both of them.
And Buffett is invested in Boyd, BYDDF.
We've ranked that one up before in the past, too.
Yes, it's ranked in the top 100 in the app, and it currently has a relative strength of 97, BYDDF. In the meantime, GM looks horrible, just absolutely horrible. And Ford looks horrible. GM has a relative strength of 21, a P.E. ratio of 5, but the car lots are empty. I don't know what the problem is. The car lots are empty. Okay, the other one here that is jumping off the page for me is a shipper, a Scorpio Tankers. Sting is the symbol, S-T-N-G. Guess what they transport? They transport crude oil and petroleum products with a fleet of 135 vessels. They're headquartered in Monaco. So how are you going to control the price that they're charging, which is what I heard Congress is going to do? They're based out of Monaco. I don't see how you can control their price that they're charging to ship liquid natural gas. So those are the ones that jump off the page for me. Li Auto, NRGU, which is an ETF, three times oil to the upside. And Sting, S-T-N-G, Scorpio Tankers. All right. Well, you know, this are interesting times that we live in. Very, very interesting. Unique times that we live in. Which certainly should impact the way you can't invest like you always have. I was looking at just a big plain vanilla growth fund, the Growth Fund of America, which is very well known. I think it's down 32%, Barry, from its high.
And that's a pretty vanilla growth fund.
Yes. So, I mean, just your standard growth is in big trouble. All right, well, give us a call. What are you doing with your portfolio? You need a second opinion. Is nobody doing anything? That's even worse yet. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Read our newsletter every week. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.